Good morning to you all. I'm reminded of the scripture of Psalm 118, verse 24, which says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." And today I'm missing all of your smiling faces, but I'm a man of faith, and I believe that wherever you are watching this broadcast, you're smiling now. Because that's who you are. And so I want to pray as we get started today in our morning message. I want to pray for you. And so I would encourage you, as I pray, is that you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you even as you hear the prayer. And the Holy Spirit works in concert with that prayer. In connection with that prayer, let that prayer bring the life of God's Word and Spirit to you as we pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear from heaven. And I pray for every person who is watching and who will watch this message, that they won't see the speaker so much as they'll see the speaker of the house. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to penetrate the heart, the mind, the emotions, the circumstances, the situations of every person who is listening and watching today. Thank you, Lord, that you know it all and that you have for them today a word that makes a difference in their life right now. Thank you for being our helper, faithful and true. Quicken us by your Spirit. In our spirit, in our mind, in our body, that we might receive a word from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you today on the subject, God's family and lockdown. God's family and lockdown. And lockdown has become a very popular term, or not popular in our time, but a well-used term, probably unlike any other segment of human history. It's now a global word, lockdown. So I want to talk to you about God's family and lockdown. And, you know, the Bible is such a timeless book. It addresses every kind of circumstance in every generation, every setting, no matter who it is, where it is, what's your culture, what's your language, what's your circumstance, what's your finance, what's your desperation. God's Word speaks to your life. And I just want to refer today to 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 says, "Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The devil's the devil. He has always been doing what he's been doing. And we, as long as we live on this earth, we travel through a journey in which Satan does what he does. And so we have that commonality with our brothers and sisters. There isn't anybody that is alone in their trial. And so we are admonished to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. And that's what I want to encourage you today as we look at this subject, God's family and lockdown. You know, God's people have found themselves locked down on numerous occasions throughout history, maybe in a different sort of way, but I want to bring out this fundamental principle of lockdown. And in this season of this global virus outbreak, governments have chosen to lock down, as they say, their populations, forbidding them to go out except for the most significant reasons connected to survival. Today, I want us to understand what lockdown really means for God's family. When you think of lockdown, it means to be locked or commanded to stay behind closed doors. This whole idea of social distancing or social isolation are practices that we have not known in modern public life at a global level. Years ago, I worked in a hospital, and I knew what isolation ward was, and whenever I worked there, I had to go into the wards. I had to do like they're doing now to protect myself and the patients, etc. But this is now taking place at a global level. And so it represents a new way of living that we have to learn. And we're not really given a lot of options about whether we want to learn it or not. It's thrust upon us. And we have the most basic questions to resolve. How do we eat? How do we get our hair cut? Something so simple. Look at somebody else in your house and say, I think it's about time you got your hair cut. And so I guess I'm going to have to cut it for you. Some of you may say, well, it's probably a good thing I don't have to go out if they're going to cut my hair. But how do we, what do we do with our children? You know, it's, our world has changed so much. And now that women go out to work as well as working inside the home, and men go out to work, and now neither men go out, and women don't go out, children don't go to school, we're all in the same house. What do we do with these little people for so many hours of the day? And what do they do with us and themselves? And all these questions arise in this season. We have to learn new ways. How do we pay our bills? So many questions arise in this new world order. But I'd just like to look at a couple of examples of this whole idea of lockdown. Probably not in exact same sense, but the whole principle of being confined, restricted by government order. And that government order is based upon a fear that if somehow we weren't locked down, then of course the virus would spread and more people would get sick and die. And yet there is nothing new under the sun. In John 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the virus, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You know, wherever you live, Jesus is not prevented from entering your home. He's not prevented. And in John 20, 26, the Bible says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And this was another occasion where the disciples were in lockdown because of fear. And both times Jesus came and said to them, peace be with you. I'd like to say to you today, you're listening and watching to this message, that the same Jesus who said it to them so long ago is giving you that message today. He is in your midst right now as you are hearing the word of God. And his message to you today is peace be with you. Not fear. That's the message of this world. Fear. Fear on every side. And you know, fear is magnetic. It attracts other fears. And so if you listen to the voice of fear, you invite other fears. It's like saying to the devil, hey, while you're in here, what else have you got for me? And so, more than ever in your life journey, fear is a major enemy you must recognize and deal with. And today, the antidote of that fear is the voice of the Prince of Peace, who says to you, my peace I give unto you. Today, Jesus is calming the fears in your heart and your home, telling you that he is with you in this hour of testing and trial that is upon the face of our world. And so let us go a little further today as we just kind of examine this whole principle of lockdown. In Galatians chapter 3 and verses 23 and following, it says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up. So the Bible says that mankind were held prisoners by the law and locked up. It goes on to say, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to salvation. You know, that's what the law right now is endeavoring to do, lead us to salvation. The scripture says, lead us to Christ. But the law is trying to keep us safe, trying to save us from the virus, save us from death. That's the purpose of the law. But this law here comes to an end. It says, now that faith has come, you're no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, don't take from what I'm saying that I think all of you should just rush out and carry on life as you were. I'm not saying violate the law of the land at all. I'm just talking about what law is limited and what it's designed to do. It goes on to say, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with fear. No, with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So mankind, as we see here in Galatians, was locked down once he was kicked out of the good life in the garden. He was locked down. How was he locked down and locked out? Well, he came, as the Bible says, under, and he lived as a prisoner of that life of confinement and drudgery. He wasn't allowed out into the freedom of peace and blessing until faith came. And so the first lockdown that humanity ever knew was in the Garden of Eden, as man got locked out of the Garden of Blessing, and he got locked in to the very narrow, restricting, limiting, freedom-crushing space of sinful, law-based living. And that's what the Bible says. We were locked up by the law until faith came. Man is always in lockdown when he's not operating in faith. He lives in the prison of fear, trying to carve out a life in a very, very narrow space. And it is faith that liberates a man and a woman, regardless of what circumstances or governments, conditions, attacks come. It is faith, according to the eternal word of God, that makes you free, takes you out of locked down in here. Oh, really, what matters most in this season of lockdown? And you may ask me, Pastor, do you think this is going to go on for X amount of time? And certainly a question people are asking around the globe, how long is this going to last? I can't tell you how long it's going to last. I have a sense it's not going to be too much longer, but I believe it is vital for us to capture what God wants us to capture in this season. Just as it was vital for Israel to capture the lessons they were supposed to capture when they were imprisoned in Egypt before they were released. Important in life. What the manual for living, the Bible says, is if we have food and clothing and toilet, no, we will be content with that. We'll be content with that. 1 Peter 5:9 says your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. It's kind of interesting. Global and national sport events have been canceled. Concerts have been canceled. Cinemas have been closed. The stock market, where all the world's goods are traded has been devastated. Economies, no matter all the efforts that are taken, hold no promise for great prosperity or job security. And crazily enough, governments that might think of expansionism have to put those wicked notions on hold, because what value is there in taking over another nation or two that's just full of infected people? And possibly, according to the world, inviting more of that infection into the population took them over. So everything is on hold at the moment as far as this world is concerned in this season of lockdown. And in such a context, mankind is forced to take stock of what is absolutely necessary, the basics of life. And you know, the scripture says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 that everything we need for life and godliness comes from Him. So I want to ask you, in your lockdown circumstance, what is it you need? What is it that you really need to survive? The one who has supplied it all is ready to do whatever miracle is necessary to supply you with what you need. That's the promise of Him who cannot lie. And you have, through the provision of Christ's work on the cross, everything that you need. It is your faith in the eternal promises of God that causes that provision to come to you. Some of you will perhaps receive the miracle of somebody who didn't know you had a need, providing for your need. That's still God. Some of you will discover that God is able to make things appear that haven't been appearing. I was in Uganda. We were feeding orphans. We had enough food only for 300 orphans. We fed 300 orphans, but there were 200 more that came. But the food never ran out until the very last orphan was fed. And that was the last bowl of food. And so God is so ready to do a miracle in your circumstances, in your situation. Well, really, what's going to keep you strong in this season of lockdown? First of all, I'd like to give you a few things that will keep you strong, because that's so important, that you have a strength on the inside. You're not crying and desperate and fearful and angry and wondering, but there is an inner life that is reflective of the fact that Jesus Christ has become your Lord and your Savior. He's your Savior during lockdown, just as He was your Savior before lockdown, if you confessed your sins and received Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you at the end of this message today, you take that step. Repent of your sins, acknowledge that you're a sinner and that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and let Him come in and not only wash you and cleanse you, but take the government of your life and become your Lord and your Savior. Do that. I would encourage you to do that. So in this season, if you're a believer, it is fundamentally your faith that will keep you strong. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "This is the victory." I'd like you to say it in your home, wherever you are. Say victory. Say it again, victory. Say it again, victory. Now make it personal. I have the victory. For the scripture says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, overcomes the virus, overcomes deprivation, overcomes fear, even our faith. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith will it be done to you. Fear is just a negative form of faith. It's a believing something that hasn't happened or might happen or could happen that's negative and soul-destroying. Jesus said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. Take your Luke 10:19 tablet today. You can look that verse up on time. But take that tablet and say, yes, that belongs to me. Nothing will harm me. Secondly, what will keep you strong during this lockdown season is love. Yes, love. Romans 8:35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or virus or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered by the devil. But it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That same Christ who stood in your front room or your bedroom or wherever you are watching this broadcast, bringing his peace to you, is you, embracing you, holding you. And so I'd encourage you, because you have, according to the Bible, received God's love, be a lover, even during this time. Share God's love. Pray, encourage, get out of yourself, help the people that are in your house or your neighbors. Give, 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 give out of your heart. Because it's this loving lifestyle that secures your inner life. What people are discovering in this governmental lockdown is that it is their inner life that is most precious to them. And they perhaps didn't think about it before. They could stay distracted on other things when they had a greater freedom. They could soften any hardship, so they thought, by doing something else. Now we discover that in order to have the true freedom of life on the inside, we have to be centering on Christ and his mission in the world. So loving others is where life started with us. He loved us, and we became lovers by accepting his love. Now, as believers, we are the great lovers in the earth, giving his love to a loveless world. And you may say, but Pastor Rick, how do I do this in this period of time? Ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to purchase some food and put it on the doorstep of one of your neighbors and just knock the door or ring the doorbell and walk away. But ask the Holy Spirit, who's the great lover who lives inside of you, how you can love your family, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, how you can even use social media to encourage and pray and release some dimension of Christ's love. He's full of amazing, creative ideas. Some of them would be greatly lifted to get an e-card from you, letting them know that you were thinking of them, letting them know you were praying for them. They had no idea, but God prompted you to express his love in that context. A third thing that will keep you strong in this lockdown is joy. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord when there's no virus. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. You see, we understand that rejoicing releases strength, just like moaning releases weakness. You can get so weak, debilitated, and lifeless by listening to the negativity and the criticism and the complaint that is so prevalent in our time. Change that. Let there come a new life in your spirit today because you rejoice in the Lord and His goodness. Rejoice in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy food and drink and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm sure that probably many of you were rejoicing in the Lord today before this broadcast came on. Don't stop. Fourthly, meditate on the good stuff. Meditate on the good stuff. Philippians 4:6-8 says, do not be anxious about the virus or anything. There's lots of ancillary things that have come as a result of this lockdown where people's employment and education and childcare, vocation, qualification, and job and business and so many things, but here is God's antidote to the virus of fear. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Father, you know my job situation. You know our finances. You know our debts. You know all these things. We surrender these to you. Everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you got it covered. I thank you today, you got it covered. Present your request to God. And once again, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, all the understanding you can find on the internet, it goes beyond that, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And let me just pause for a moment here and say something about conspiracy theories. You know, there are so many conspiracy theories out there about the virus, et cetera. You know, over 38 times the Bible talks about conspiracies, and I'm not going to go into that topic today, but it's like I say, there's nothing new under the sun, and there's lots of conspiracy theories out there, and the internet, which is the great gossip manufacturing plant of this world, is under the control of the evil one. Okay, we all use it for perhaps positive purposes, but it is part of this world system, and as under this world system, it's out there inspiring the new viruses of fear designed to get you paralyzed because you can do nothing about the conspiracies that are controlling your life. I would encourage you, stop searching what feeds evil curiosity and start meditating on the answers to life found in Him and His Word. I want to read to you a verse from Isaiah 8. And verse 11 says, the Lord spoke to me with His strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. And then notice what the connection is. He says, do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He's the one you are to dread. And He will be a sanctuary. He'll be a sanctuary. I want to say to you today, God wants to be your sanctuary. Don't allow any conspiracy theory to open a door of more life-paralyzing fear. Lastly, I'd like to pose to you some questions to ask and answer in these days. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:31 that we should learn through all the hard things that happen in life. And this is definitely hard times. We should learn. We should capture some wisdom from this period of lockdown and confinement and restriction, at least in terms of our geography. But some simple questions. What will my life be like when the danger of this virus has passed? Will I see life any differently? No. How would you live if this lockdown went for 3 years? How would you live differently? What would your focus be? Will my life return to the norm or the normal of what it was before the virus came? What are the messages God is giving to me about my life? What are the most important things in my life? Are they things that are most important? What is God's mission for my life? Am I pursuing that mission or just living life? Getting through the days, working my job, collecting my paycheck, spending however I choose to spend, living and dying. Is that my life? What in my life will count for eternity? Whose life am I affecting for eternity with my time, my talent, and my resources? I'd encourage you to determine to make a gain from this season of your life. And lastly, I want to encourage you to partake of communion today in your home with your family or whoever, or even if you're by yourself. Partake of communion. It was the covenant Passover meal that enabled Israel, God's covenant people, to be preserved and protected in a time of great trial. I want to encourage you to take that. But I want to pray for you again right now as we close. Because I believe that God wants to touch your life. And so I'd encourage you to just close your eyes as you listen to the prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, come now and touch my life even as I hear your voice today. Father, we know there is no time or space with you. I speak now to everyone who hears and watches this message. Wherever you are in your home, right now, the Holy Spirit comes. And he works in conjunction with the word spoken. Because you said, Father, you sent your word. You sent your word. Thank you for that sending word that comes right now. I send now the word of healing to your body. I rebuke virus and cold and flu and sickness and disease and high blood pressure and kidney problems and alopecia and every kind of sickness and disease in your body. Cancer. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Kidney failure, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. High blood pressure, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Debt, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I release the peace of God that passes all understanding to you, that the one who paid for it all has it covered. He's got your future and your family and your children, your education, your business, your finance, your health, your future, your calling. He's got it covered. He's reminding you of that now. Receive this grace in Jesus' name. God bless you. I would encourage you to find the song if you can and listen to it. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. God bless you.